The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Back to James chapter 2, look at verse 18. James chapter 2 and verse 18, here's what it says. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me, it says, thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So he says, you know, it is good for us to be able to show our faith by our works. You know, we, as we preached this morning, we talked about the Lord Jesus and how he went about doing good, and it was often spoke of him. I mean, people would know that this was the Lord Jesus by that which was the goodness, yes, that he himself did. And as we speak tonight on limiting God, it's going to be, as far as the message is concerned, the main topic of prayer tonight. Why is it that people limit God and not get their prayers answered? What is it that we can do as believers to be able to, if you would please, not limit God any longer so that God could answer our prayers? I believe this with all my heart. I believe that everybody in this room would like to have your prayers answered. Amen. I believe that you would have some things maybe in your personal life that you need, or maybe in your family's life that you need, or maybe in the life of a friend, or maybe something that God is stirring your heart about, and God really, I do believe, wants to hear your prayer, and I do believe that God wants to work on more of your behalfs than what you actually believe yourself. So how is it that we limit the hands of God? What is it that we could do if we could picture God tonight and you taking ropes and putting them around God's hands by something that you're doing in your life? What is it that you could do tonight to be able to release God's hands so that God could work in your life? What is it that you could do or change in your life so that you could feel closer to God? So that you knew that by praying that God not only heard your prayer, but because you were praying in the will of God, you knew that God was going to hear your prayer and, yea, answer your prayer. Have you ever been in such a state? Have you ever found yourself in such a way that you knew that before you even closed your prayer, that you knew that God heard your prayer and you knew that God was going to answer your prayer? Is there a way to be able to know that? Is there something that you and I could do? Let me give you some things to consider tonight. Statement number one, we limit him through our lack of prayer. We limit him through our lack of prayer. You know, sometimes I think that you and I live in such a way that we think about praying. We do. We think that it's important to pray. We do. We think that we ought to schedule time so that we do pray. We do. But we never actually set out and pray. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. Listen to it now. In verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 59, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins, plural, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. One of the reasons that people do not pray is because they're living such a sinful life that they have lost their desire to come before a holy God. They're so busy messing around with sin and so busy messing around in sin that they have lost their spiritual appetite to be able to go to God and allow God not only to hear their prayer, but to answer their prayer. You know, we live in such a generation that people spend, no doubt, more time in front of the flat screen than they do flat on their face before God. We live in such a time where it seems like that we ourselves try to work out all of our penny-ante problems instead of going to God and letting God be the one that works on our behalf. James chapter 4 and in verse 2, the Bible says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. The Bible says, yet ye have not, listen to it now, because ye ask not. You know, the reason that many of us do not see lives changed in our families because we simply don't pray. The reason that we don't see doors open that we want open is simply because we don't pray. The reason that God does not send us a personal revival, I submit to you tonight, is simply because we don't pray. The reason that we've never seen God show up and close the lion's mouth is because we don't pray. The reason we've never seen prison doors open is because we don't pray. The reason we've never seen walls torn down in our personal lives is because we don't pray. The reason we've never seen the sick healed is because we don't pray. The reason we lack food on our tables is because we don't pray. The reason that we never have the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ personally is because we don't pray. The reason that we suffer homes that are dysfunctional and homes, if you would please, that are not centered on the Lord Jesus Christ is because we've taken Christ out of the center of the home and we simply do not pray. Sometimes we don't pray because of the fact that we are an unforgiving person. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, the Bible says, and then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft, it says, shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him 7 times 70? And Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times 7, but it says until 70 times 7. If I got my calculations correct, I believe that's 490. Now, can I tell you, if you practice forgiving somebody over 20 times or 30 times or yea, even 100 times, can I tell you that probably you're going to forget how many times you forgave them? All right? And he said, just keep forgiving and forgive. You say, well, preacher, what do I do when my husband comes home and he's a grump? I mean, he's a bear. I mean, he is just uncontrollable. And what do I do? You forgive him. Well, preacher, what do I do when I show up home and my wife cooked a meal that's not worth serving to the dog's neighbors? You forgive them. Well, preacher, what do I do when I go down to work and there's a cantankerous employee that works for me and they're just having a hard time? Well, maybe before you step in to correct them, you ought to get a hold of God and let God work in your life and let God help you and let God instruct you and let God show you what to do so that you can have the right type of spirit when you walk in there to be able to help that one. Can I tell you, the reason that we do not get our prayers answered is sometimes because we have an unforgiving spirit. Another reason is because we're selfish. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and in verse 3, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, and that ye may consume upon your own lust. Sometimes we ask for the wrong things. Well, God, the 6-year-old prays, give me a car, and you can't even drive. Sometimes we ask for the wrong thing. God, would you give me a job, if you would please, that pays this amount, but we fail to understand that this amount requires this amount of responsibility, and we're not willing to give that amount of responsibility, and so God knows that's not a good answer that he would give. Sometimes we need to just go to God and say, God, this is what I would like to see. And God, this is what I would like to happen. But sometimes you have to trust God as much as you did for your salvation when it comes to prayer. You know, there's been many times I'll get on my knees and I'll say, dear Lord, I would sure like for you to do this. And I'm not telling you what to do, but I just want you to hear my heart. And Father, this is something I would really, truly like for you to do. So God, if you would do that, that would be a marvelous thing. And I'll go about, and I promise you, Lord, and I say this often when I pray, I promise you, Lord, I'll tell everybody that you did it. I'll tell everybody that you did it. I'll take none of the glory. I'll take none of the praise. I'll take none of the flattery. I will tell everybody that the Lord Jesus Christ did this in my life. Listen, sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because we simply are a people that are selfish. We want to consume it upon our own lust. God, the woman prays, give me the dress like so-and-so. The man prays, gives me the outfit like so-and-so. The person prays, give me the vehicle like so-and-so. The person prays, give me the house like so-and-so. The person prays, give me the personality like so-and-so. The person prays, give me, if you would please, this, that, and the other. And give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. What about somebody else? What about praying for somebody else? What about letting God let you be a blessing to somebody else? What about getting your selfish hide out of the way so that God could take and work in you and through you to be a blessing to somebody else instead of you consuming it upon your own self? We don't get our prayers answered because of unforgiveness. We don't get our prayers answered because of selfishness. We don't get our prayers answered because of unconfessed sin. The Bible says over in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if. Now that, by the way, means that it doesn't have to be that way. That's conditional. He says, if we regard iniquity in, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, listen to it. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them, the Bible says, shall have mercy. So God says that your sin is good for two things. Amen. It's good for confessing. That means you agree with God on it against yourself. And it's good for forsaking. So your sins are only good for two things. By the way, your sin is like the garbage. It needs to be taken out and left on the street. You need to let somebody else take care of it. Somebody said that every man ought to be like somebody that flushes the toilet often. You ought to take and flush your mind several times a day. Make sure that you are ridden of sin. The Bible says, listen to it, over in Psalms 139, verses 7 through 9, where the Bible says, whether shall I go, it says, from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, it says, behold, thou art there, and if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, thou art there. You know, the Bible teaches that God is everywhere. Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to sin and I'm going to hide. No, you cannot sin and you cannot hide from an almighty God. You have to understand tonight, dear friend, that God wants to bless you. And God wants to bless you and God will bless you if you so live for him. But it's not just a living in public, it's a living in private. It's a letting God be able to work in your private world and letting God being able to help you in your private thoughts. It's letting God be able to clean out your closet. It's letting God have control in your life. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about how to get your prayers answered. Stop playing religion. This is not supposed to be a religious outfit. This is not supposed to be a religious gathering. This is not supposed to be a religious church. This is supposed to be God's people coming together that want God to do something in their individual lives. We need people that's going to come together and say, God, will you work in me? Will you cleanse me? Will you help me? God, I'm falling on my face before you and I'm asking that you and you only work in my life in such a way that it's you and me and we're friends and I know that you will work and help me and guide me to do what is right in my life. I'm saying tonight that people do not get their prayers answered because of an unforgiving spirit. They don't get their prayers answered because of selfishness. They don't get their prayers answered because of unconfessed sin. May I say tonight, we limit him through our lack of prayer. That's the reason people do not pray. But there's another reason tonight. We limit him through our lack of vision. What do you pray that God would do in and through you? What is your dream for God? Oh, but you say, preacher, I'm not a pastor. Preacher, I'm not a preacher. I've never been called into the ministry of God. But can I tell you, dear friend, there's something that God wants you to do. God has a work for you. It might be that God could use you at your workplace. It might be that God could use you to lead an employee to Christ. It might be that God could use you to lead a business associate to Christ. It might be that God could use you to win a neighbor to the Lord or win a friend to Christ. You know, God allows people to come across your path because I believe that God knows that you're going to be a good steward for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I do believe that sometimes we perish because we ourselves lose our vision. We ourselves. I've seen pulpits across America that's dried up and died. I've seen churches across America. Last year, 2016, there was 3,600 churches that closed their doors. 3,600. I'm talking. Now, wait a minute. Let me classify. Bible-believing Baptist churches that closed their doors. Now, can I tell you, I'm so glad that the pulpit stays hot here. Amen. I'm so glad that your souls are stirred to do something for God. I don't want the old Parkside Baptist Church to die and dry up and wither like some vine. And all of a sudden, you walk by it one day and say, I remember the day. Now, by the way, it could happen. I watched the great Highland Park Baptist Church. One day it ran 10,000. Now it's closed up and doesn't even exist anymore. I watched Dr. Tom Malone's church and going great heydays. And now, of course, I don't even know what they're doing today or even if they're around anymore. But I watched some of the great churches of yesteryear. You said, well, what happened, preacher? I'll tell you what happened. It takes more than just a preacher preaching in the pulpit. It takes somebody in the pew that takes it serious, and they listen to the word of God, and they say, God, that's for me. God, work in my heart. I'm pleading with you tonight as a believer in Christ. Don't dry up. Don't wither away. Don't let the fire go out. You decide. Let God work in your life. When the man of God mounts behind the pulpit, it's just not another man. It should be a man of God that has the power of God on him, and he's going to stand and he's going to cry aloud. And can I tell you, it's about time that the church of God wake up. But the reason that we sleep is because in our personal lives, we sleep. By the way, you can always tell a sleepy Christian. You can always tell somebody that's lost their vigor. You can always tell somebody, if you would please, that have lost their thrill when it comes to church. You can almost tell by the way they sit. Now, I'm not picking on you. I'm just helping. But you know, people come to church and all of a sudden they start to kind of slip downward. Have you seen it? They get comfortable. You know, by the way, somebody comes to church and they get real comfortable. They didn't come to listen. They came to chill. They get comfortable. You've seen it. Come on. They lean their head back. Before you know it, that bottom jaw drops down real low. Saliva starts to spur outside of the mouth. Mouth opens wide. So does the nostrils. They begin to purr. Then before you know it, they begin to do worse than purr. Man, that's a horrible thing. You know, if I were you, I think I would come to church like there's something important going to happen. I think I'd set up and I think I would pay attention like there's something going to happen. You know, by the way, when you fall asleep, it causes other people to get lethargic. Did you know that? All of a sudden now when you start drifting off, you know what that says? That tells a lost person that's sitting right across from you that God's not important to you. That's how the Bible says that Paul had to instruct the church how to behave themselves in the house of... Now, don't you get mad at me. Don't you get mad at me when I tell you how to behave yourself in the house of God. When I say the music is playing, shut your mouth, then it's time to shut your mouth. You know, when I say, hey, listen, during the Lord's Supper time, and I saw it, and I saw it over here, and man, they're yakety-yakety. During the Lord's Supper time, hey, child of God, shut up. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't use language like that. Oh, my soul. Okay, in the name of the Lord, be quiet, please. But I'm saying this tonight. Let church be church. Hey, come to church. Expect the preacher to get up and preach. Expect the preacher to hit the pulpit. Expect the preacher to rock the pew. I'm saying tonight, let the Lord be God and every other person a liar. You just decide tonight, God can. I'm saying tonight that we limit him through our lack of prayer. We limit him through our lack of vision. What is it that God can do in you? Oh, come on. You say, well, I go to Parkside Baptist Church. And I tell you what, I don't like Parkside Baptist Church. Because after all, it's a dead place. Neighbor, it's about as dead as you want it to be. Well, I come to Parkside Baptist Church and I don't learn. That's because you have no desire for education. Man, we're going to take you deep into the doctrine so deep that you're going to have to learn to swim. Hello. We got godly music. We got godly standards. We got people. Now, by the way, they've not arrived. If you see somebody walking around our property and they're kind of all puffed up, you know that they've not arrived. I mean, when they're walking swankily down the hallway like they cool. They got their chest all poked out. Like, you know, hey, baby, look at me. Can I tell you, that's not godly. When you see these women and they wear these real tight dresses. Well, can I tell you, honey child, the reason they be wearing those sweet, those tight, skinny dresses is because they have more than their mind than God. Hello? Man, you ever see women? How they get in those things, I do not know. But a bigger question than that, dear beloved friend, is how they gonna get out of those things? They're gonna wind up suffocating. And boy, if they ever pop, humanity is in trouble. Let's have old-fashioned church. Let's get back to old-fashioned living. Let's get back to old-fashioned preaching. Let's get back to old-fashioned Holy Ghost working. Hey, put aside, stop judging everybody. Well, you know, that person ought not to walk that way, and they ought not to talk that way, and they ought not to dress that way, and they just ought not to, ought not to, ought not to, ought not to. You're spending so much time ought not in that you're not ought not in yourself because you're not doing nothing. Pick yourself up and do something. Nobody ought to have to beg you to come to church. Nobody ought to have to instruct these boys to sit on the front row. They ought to love Jesus so much they want to get under the spout where the blessing comes out. You ought not show up late for church, friend. You ought to show up early for church. You ought to decide that church is the main thing. Well, I tell you what, I wish he would hurry up. I wish he'd quit. I wish he'd get out of my way. I want to go home. Well, honey child, go home, but let the rest of us stay. And those of us stay, hey, enjoy yourself. Stop being so stuffy. Well, you know, preacher, I tell you what, I just need to dress all proper and prim. And you know, and I'll be honest with you, I do wear a necktie when I preach, but that old buzzard that created that thing, I probably don't care for him much. This is probably the closest thing to a noose you could ever get in your life. Without hanging from a tree. Now, can I tell you, listen, I'm saying tonight, somehow, some way, understand that you've got a God that wants a personal relationship. Yes. Understand that, hey, put away all the junk. Put away all your penny-ante feelings and stop getting your feelings hurt. And stop looking for a perfect church because, dear beloved friend, when you find it, you joined it, you ruined it. You're not going to find a perfect church. Well, I saw something at church that just bothered me. Well, people are saying that about you all the time. So get over it. Get over it. By the way, we're a soul-winning church. You're going to have all sorts of people show up. I had a motorcycle rider one day, and man, he had so many, he had more tattoos than he had skin. I mean, it is everywhere. You say, what do you do with somebody like that? You love them just like Jesus would love them. He came walking to the hallway down there, and then he had one of these things around his neck. It looked like a dog thing, you know, the dog would wear. Had these metal things coming out, you know, and spikes, that's right. Thank you so much. He probably bought them from you. And he had these spikes around his neck right there. And man, he had spikes around right here and spikes around right here. And he had this leather, a leather vest on. And he didn't have a shirt on underneath that, just curly hair sticking out. You know, he probably took them from here and glued them here, but he had them all. And one of my dear secretaries saw that man walking the aisle and came in and said, "Preacher, preacher." I mean, it was a fearful thing to look at, I tell you for sure. And I went outside and I saw him. I said, "Hey, how you doing? Boy, it is great to see you. Hello." Now, I did tell him, you might want to put a shirt on because you're going to scare all the women folk when they show up. But can I tell you, that's what church is about. And I think sometimes we lose it. Well, if everybody's not just like me, then, you know, I must not fit. Hey, friend, if Jesus is welcome, you're welcome. And if Jesus is welcome, they're welcome. Hey, let me preach the devil out of them. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying the reason that we do not get our prayers answered is simply because of the fact that we do not pray. The reason that we don't get our prayers answered in the areas of vision is because we don't have vision. Get yourself a vision for God. What can you do through your local church? What can you do through Parkside Baptist Church? What is it that you can do? God can use you to do something. Rise up and serve God through the local church and let God be the one that receives all the glory and all the honor, and stop going around trying to jock yourself for a position. You let God be the one that gives you a position. Amen. I'm saying tonight that isn't it funny how to Israel, Goliath was too big to hit. But to little David, he was too big to miss. Yeah, right. Yeah. Just kind of dependent upon who you're looking and the way you're looking. Yeah. Two guys, you know, they went to Africa and they were selling shoes. One guy called back immediately, says, "Can't sell any shoes here. Nobody wears them." The other guy sent a telegraph back. He says, "Send shoes, many shoes. It's wonderful. Nobody wears them. All the prospects of Africa is mine." Really depends on how you look at it. You know, you may say, "Well, I tell you what, there's nobody sitting beside me tonight. Therefore, it just bothers me, because if this church was such an alive Iosis for that, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, or an island for Christ, man, every pew would be filled." But sometimes God lets you see something where you can do something about it. Yeah. That stuttering was on purpose, by the way. Now, can I tell you, sometimes you, God wants to use. "Well, there's nobody here just like me." Well, there's a world out there, Bubba. Go get them. Come on. Well, I don't have somebody here that has my ability. Last time I heard, the Dallas metro area, according to Brother Wislowski's statistics, is upward to 6 million. Can I tell you, that's a lot of people. Can I tell you, there's probably somebody out there that will identify with you. And by the way, our church is getting large enough. I mean, we're running way up in the high hundreds of hundreds and hundreds of people. Can I tell you, our church is getting large enough that eventually somebody's going to show up just like you. Then you're going to wish that they didn't. We limit God through our lack of prayer. We limit God through our lack of vision. I'm going to give you one more and I'll give you a solution. We limit God through our lack of listening to the Bible. We limit God through our lack of listening to the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about attending church. That's different. I see people attending church working on their cell phones all the time. I'm not talking about just attending church. I see people that are annoyed by people that sit around them. Now, by the way, I see that all the time. What you say, well, what do I do about that? Not now. Don't do it now. It'd be too obvious. But, but move. I mean, we have balcony seats. The choir's off limits, sorry. But we have balcony seats. We have seats over here. And if you get around somebody that just annoys you, I mean, maybe they say amen at the wrong time. You know, preacher said, everybody ought to go to heaven. You ought not die and go to hell. And the reason that people die and go to hell, it's because of you. And then they say amen. And you know, they just kind of mess everything up, you know. I had one guy, comes from the pulpit, it's honest, okay. I had one guy stop me in the hallway out here one day. He said, preacher so-and-so. And he pointed to the guy. He said, he annoys me. I said, really? Why does he annoy you? He said, his breath stinks. He said, every time I get around him and he breathes, he said, I'm thinking about changing churches because he annoys me. I said, why don't you give him breath mints? He said, huh. And we do have them in the bookstore. He said, never thought of that. He went in immediately, bought the guy he got him breath mints. Gave him the breath mints, and the guy was so gracious, so kind. He said, wow, thank you so much. He said, I know my breath has been stinking. I didn't know what to do about it. He said, man, thank you. The guy became his hero. You know, sometimes you can just reach into somebody's life with something small. Come on, folks, we are a church. Everybody's different in our church. We have people from Indiana. We have people from New Mexico. We have people from Nigeria. We have people from the Philippines. We have people from Korea. We have people from Japan. We have people, members from Germany. We have people that are members from different states around. I'm talking about Arkansas. Yeah, that's a state. We have different people that's come here and God has moved them here from Colorado. Different places that God has brought. We have different foreign countries that are sitting in this pew right now that are members of our church that God has sent them to this church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to warn you. God's not done yet. There's more to come. One day you're going to show up late and say, I can't find a place to sit. Now what do I do? Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen, we can limit him through our lack of vision. We can limit him through not hearing the word of God. Show up. Be on time. Sit in your pew. Open your Bible. Let God speak to you. Let God change your life. He's a good God. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. How in the world do I know what is right? Don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher preaches. Amen. Don't do that. No, look, let me be me. Amen. Let Mike Wells have his own personality. Amen. Well, I just wish that you were more that away. And I wish that you were more that away. You know, if everybody got their way, there would not be a way because I would be gone out of the way because I could not fulfill the way. I mean, I cannot become all things to all men. I am not the Lord Jesus, and even Paul had trouble doing that, and he spoke it. You said, well, sometimes you tell corny jokes. Then help me. Give me some good ones. Oh, but sometimes, preacher, you shout. But that's okay. Sometimes, preacher, you walk around and you get excited. Hey, I'd rather get excited about Jesus than a ball game. That went over real well. Statement number one, we limit him through a lack of prayer. Statement number two, we limit him through a lack of vision. Statement number three, we limit him through a lack of listening to the Word of God. Let me give you this and I'm done. How is it that you can remove the limitations that you have? Repent. Repent. You know, repentance in the Bible is mentioned more for the believer. Think on these things. Than it is for the unbeliever. Because after you get saved, dear friend, that's when the repentance really begins. All of a sudden, preacher steps. I had a dear brother today. He stopped me out there in the lobby area. He said, "Preacher, that was a good sermon, but," he said, "I'm hurting right now." From this morning's sermon, I said, "Why are you hurting so much?" He said, "Because you stepped all over me." But you know, it's good to be able to say, "Boy, thus saith the Lord," and yes, I got it. I'm having a hard time with it. And that makes us even become more godly, because now we go back to God and say, "God, would you help me with this? Amen. Holy Spirit, would you help me with this? I'm not perfect and I need your help." Amen. That's what true Bible preaching does. Amen. So what do? I repent. I agree with God against myself. And I come to God and I say, "God, here I am. I need to work on that. I need to change my way. I need to change my mind about that." Another thing is commit yourself to Christ. Some of us are committed to work, and may I say, God bless you. Some of us are committed to perhaps our marriage, and I say, God bless you. And both those things are very good and very admirable, by the way. But what about committing also yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? And how about this, committing to him first, putting him first? I'm saying tonight, it involves your vital attendance in church services. Be faithful. See, here's what our Bible teaches. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how do I build my faith? I hear the Word of God. Now, by the way, I have never, nor will I ever, by the grace of God and through his present mercy on my life, I will never say, "Boy, I tell you what, I'm just a great preacher," because I know from whence I came. And I know I'm not a great preacher, but I've got a great book. Amen. And I've got a great God. Amen. And when you put a great book together with a great God, you get great results. Amen. Now, can I tell you this? Commit yourself to Christ. Get involved in the church. Find ways to be able to do that. Stay so separated from the world. Stay with me. Stay so separated from the world that the world does not put hooks in you so much that it pulls you out of the will of God. Years ago, I went fishing and I was casting and reeling in and catching some fish, but it's because the hook had a bait and the fish went after the bait that was on the hook, and because the hook had the bait and the fish went after the bait that was on the hook, I got the fish. Pretty good, huh? But can I tell you this? That's exactly what the devil does to you. He puts a hook on a bait. For you teenagers is talking right now. He puts a hook on your bait. And what he'll do is he'll take and he'll throw it right before you. Then he'll slowly bring it in. And all of a sudden that fish sees that moving along. And you grab it. Before you know it, you've been caught, you've been drugged into a place that you don't want to be in. And you get in it so much that you can't even find your way out. Before you know it, somebody's frying you on a skillet. Now, I'm saying this tonight, be so separated from the world that the world can't get you. Look, one day I dream for you. Can I tell you, I dream for you. As a young lady that's not yet married, as a young man that's not yet married, I dream for you. I dream that one day you'll be able to walk down this aisle, and I will say, as your pastor, who giveth this woman in marriage? And your daddy speaks up and says, her mother and I. And all of a sudden, your groom takes your arm. He walks you up to the platform. You stand before me, and I perform the ceremony. I pronounce you husband and wife, and I say, you may now kiss your bride. You lay locked lips on that woman. Now all of a sudden you scurry out, and I pronounce you husband and wife, and they play the bridal march, and you walk out the aisle, and everybody's, ooh, ooh. You go over there and they throw rice at you, or they throw dirt balls at you, or whatever they throw. And it's a glorious time. Amen. I don't want you to ruin that. I don't want you to give yourself away in an inappropriate manner whereby you don't get what you rightfully deserve. Look, can I tell you tonight, the devil would try to put hooks in you. He'll try and get you not to have a personal walk. He'll try and get you not to read your Bible. He'll try not to get you pray. He'll try not to get you to be right with him. May I say this and I'm done. Psalm 42 and in verse 2, and I'm done with this verse. Here's what the Bible says. My soul thirsteth for God. It says, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? He said, look, David is saying, I thirst for the living God. What are you thirsting for tonight? What are you thirsting for tonight? What are you trying to allow God? I'm talking about ways to unlimit God's hands in your life. What are you thirsting for tonight? Look, don't just do this. Please don't do this. Oh, don't you do this. Please don't do this, and I'm done. Don't just come to church and let it be a religious gathering. Can I tell you, through the preaching of the Word of God and through that which is the Holy Ghost working in your life, He could change you forever? Amen. I don't want our church just to be another church that's on a street corner somewhere. I didn't come here for that. I didn't move my family to Texas for that. I didn't come to Parkside Baptist Church just to be some nominal preacher that's going to get up behind the pulpit, shout and spit and yell and teach for 30 minutes, and let's all go home and live like the devil. That's not why I came here. I came here to see God do a work. I came here to see God through Parkside Baptist Church reach as much of the Dallas Metroplex that we could possibly reach. And my vision's not, and I know we'll average sometimes between 700 and 800, and that's good, but can I tell you, my vision's not to average between 700 and 800. My vision's to go far, far, far beyond that as we are sincere believers trying to come together to reach people for Christ. Now, it's not about the numbers, but it's about those individuals. And I want to reach as many individuals as I can. I pass out gospel tracts like it's running water. I talk to people. I stop people. I try and help people, because tonight you might not have a great preacher, but you got a sincere one. You got one that cares for people. And you got one that's going to walk beside you when you're hurting. And you got somebody that's going to cry with you when you're crying. And you got somebody that's going to be there for your family when you're going through hard times. And I am not going to turn my back on you. But can I tell you, listen, there's a world out there that needs that too. It's just not for us. There's people out there that need to hear preaching. And there's people out there that need to hear teaching just like this. And I don't care who they are. I don't care what vein they come from. I don't care their educational status. Can I tell you, God's Word changes lives. And He can change anybody's life if you let Him have a chance. Father, bless, we do pray tonight, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.